The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Time for the lunchtime doctor, your favorite lunchtime doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Good afternoon, Doc.
Base. Good afternoon to all those locked in to your lunchtime doctor. This is a program where we get to dissect those health concerns, give some sort of direction into what those next steps would be, and of course, wherever we can, offer that bit of hope. What I've realized is that many persons turn away from medical advice because of fear, because of uncertainty. And here, where you're getting that understanding, that depth of knowledge, we hope it also gives you that catalyst to make that next step and, of course, optimize your health. We also welcome you not only to share those medical challenges, share those numbers. Let us know if you are on the right track and how we can guide you onto the right track. And, of course, let us know what's on your lunchtime plate. Share with us what you're eating, which health habit, what health habits have you learnt from this program, and what you are sharing with your community. A warm welcome to all of our listeners right here in Trinidad and Tobago, across the islands, and of course outside of Trinidad and Tobago, in Miami, in USA, our listeners in Canada, all across the world. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Of course, folks, our numbers to call are 627-3223, 625-2257, and send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. Of course, we're being heard on Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and of course, right here at Freedom 106.5 FM. And yeah, feel free to message our other frequencies, and they will send your questions right to us. What's in your helpless tomorrow, Doc?
So tomorrow we're talking a little bit more on this particular month in terms of awareness, childhood cancer. It is unfortunately something that parents have to deal with, those who've been diagnosed with cancer, and it's already such a difficult diagnosis. Can you imagine what a parent have to go through when they're little one has this diagnosis? It's like you face death twice because it's anxiety over and over. So in tomorrow's Health Plus, we talk about those specific signs and symptoms so that you can pick it up early, how not to let fear make that decision, but more so an informed, knowledge-based perspective. And of course, we have some composition, we have some features on local support groups right here in Trinidad and external support groups that can give you those next steps in terms of advocacy, awareness. We also talk a little bit about heat management. Right now, as you know, we're within that time zone where there is a distinct area in terms of where is considered a heat zone. So we need to be able to know how to deal with dehydration, how to protect our elderly, how to protect those who are at risk, especially our pregnant patients and our little ones. All of that and more in our Health Plus tomorrow.
All right, Doc. I was looking at a video over the weekend there. Someone sent it to me and it was talking about GMO in foods.
Right.
GMO in foods. And is that dangerous? What they said is that they cut like a tomato and they put it in some salt. And it started to swim. Started to swim like a little worm. So exactly what is GMO and is that bad for you?
So that tends to be the corn starch, the corn syrup, the corn oil. It is certainly something that I definitely will need to read a little bit more on, because the GMO itself, those foods, there are a number of conversations on whether it's safe or not safe. Right. We obviously will tend to, as you know, lean on to as healthy as possible. So anything that adds chemicals, adds pesticides, adds different additives would make a product unhealthy. And that's something we really need to be mindful of. So there is that conversation on GMO crops and GMO additions in the foods itself and what it does. We do know that there are conversations about it changing your hormonal balance. So what we will certainly do is get a little bit more information and come back on that conversation.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm and, of course, Amco Cetaphil. Let's get a call right here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Miss, and good afternoon, Doc. I just have a question. Doc, can you explain, when you are looking at the content label, what is an acceptable level in terms of grams for diabetic patients? Thank you very much.
Most definitely. This is an excellent, excellent question. Now, when we encourage, first and foremost, we encourage every single person, turn your products around and look at your nutritional label. What are you looking at? You're looking at the salt. You're looking at the amount of sugars. You're also looking at the amount of calories. So first and foremost, let's not be mistaken, because sometimes it might have, let's just say if it's 100 calories, but it may be 100 calories per serving, but the meal itself or the drink itself may have 5 or 6 servings. So if you're having an unhealthy bar, let's just say that may have 500 calories, but it may say 5 servings. I don't know if they expect sometimes for it to be split in 5 different pieces, but it's a way of misrepresenting. So first and foremost, you must pay attention to the amount of servings and the amount of calories. Now, when you're looking at the rest of it, it also says total fat, and then it goes into cholesterol, sodium, carbohydrates, sugars. What we want, as in for the entire day, one should not cross anything more than 24 grams of sugar in a day. So for our diabetic patients, and I want us to pay particular attention, because let's just say some of those really sweetened drinks out there, some of those drinks can have as much as 17 grams of sugar, 20 grams of sugar. So imagine in just one drink, you can knock off your total amount of required sugar in a day. Just one drink, far less for the other things we may be having. This is why we would also want to look at, as they go, the percentage daily value. So anytime you're seeing something that has high amounts of total carbohydrate, see where you could get that cut down. If you're seeing, even for diabetics, we still look at the sodium. If you're seeing high amounts of milligrams sodium, look at the percentage daily value. If that's anywhere above 400 milligrams sodium, you want that considerably under, because you're no more than 500 milligrams and that's sodium. So for sugars, we do not want, your total daily requirement is 24 grams. Yes, if you're a little more active, we could go up to 25-30 grams, but for a diabetic who have a normal or moderate activity, we want no more than 24 grams. In fact, many different organizations are encouraging products to put this nutritional facts not at the back but at the front, and even highlight when there is a high amount of sugars. So to all of our listeners, I encourage everyone, turn it to the back, look at the amount of calories, look at the amount per serving, so you're not mistaken. That serving per container might be hidden to the top and could be a little bit misrepresented. So let's make sure we know what we're putting into our mouths. Great question, caller.
Question. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Doc, can you tell me, with a person on a testosterone test and the levels have been below zero, could you tell me what natural process it could be to bring it back up?
Most definitely. Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, when it comes to testosterone, know that is indeed one of the hormones produced in the body, and they can fluctuate, especially as one ages. There are a number of natural processes that can indeed, from what you eat, will indeed increase that testosterone level, from the green leafy vegetables, your cauliflower, your spinach. All of those things will indeed improve your testosterone naturally. Here are some other things that would help, from salmons, to sardines, all of that can play a role. And of course, Trinidadians certainly know the rules of oysters. Just make sure it's prepared properly. But there are other fruits as well that can play a role in increasing your testosterone. Do you all know pomegranate, pumpkin, even the pumpkin seed and chia seed? All of that can increase your testosterone. For our diabetics, just make sure we're keeping on the fruits and vegetables that have a lower glycemic index, while if there is indeed any concerns with your testosterone. Hope that answers your question.
All right, of course, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Amco Cetaphil and, of course, Super Farm. And the doc will be out there in Super Farm Trin City next week, Tuesday. So we'll let you know, of course, about that. Good day, doctor. I notice my feet is swelling. Could this have anything to do with my kidneys?
Most definitely. Anytime there's an accumulation of fluid around the ankles or the lower limbs, the feet themselves, then definitely there is some sort of degradation or dysfunction with the kidneys. It may also be directly related to the cardiovascular system. One, I'd want to know what your renal function tests are. I'd want to know specifically the creatinine, because once there's fluid accumulating around the ankles or the feet, then there is some level of dysfunction at the level of the kidneys. We'd want to know if it's both sides, if it's pitting edema, if it's edema caused by some sort of peripheral artery disease or some sort of occlusive pathway. One, you definitely need to be on some sort of medications like a diuretic that would help relieve or equilibrate the fluid balance in the body. And of course, look at your hypertensive medications. You want to reduce your salt input. Increasing salt, all that processed food, is going to worsen the fluid accumulation. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, good day, doc. I am a diabetic and would like to take magnesium. Is that okay?
That's perfectly okay. However, as always, you want to have the conversation with your healthcare professional, because I'm not too sure what your medications are. There's some diabetics who are indeed on your antihypertensives as well. Magnesium, it could be in different forms. It could be in the tablet form, because there are the vitamins available, or it could be specifically part of other medications. So have the conversation with your healthcare professional in case there is any contraindication with your actual medications and the magnesium.
All right. Hello, good day, doctor. I'm 38-year-old female. The back of my hands are becoming dark. What may be causing this?
So for a 38-year-old female that's having hyperpigmentation on the skin, there are several things that come to mind. First and foremost, we want to rule out your thyroid levels. Hyperthyroidism can indeed cause changes in the skin texture, both hyper and hypo. We want to ensure that it's not a fungal infection or it isn't autoimmune in relation. And of course, we want to rule out things like eczema or psoriasis. So there are host of different skin conditions. This is where a dermatologist will come into play, because they are custom seeing the variety of skin conditions. Of course, we want to also be mindful of moisturizing hydration. And as we know, we have Cetaphil on as one of our sponsors. They are, of course, one of your dermatologist's recommended medications for the skin for hydration.
Good day, doc. What support is available for adults locally suffering from ME/chronic fatigue syndrome?
Thank you so much for asking about this. Now, we've actually talked about chronic fatigue syndrome right here on this program. There isn't sufficient support because it isn't well documented. It isn't well researched. Probably your only doctor, your healthcare professional, might be the neurologist. There might be a multidisciplinary team in terms of a psychologist or psychotherapist in and of course some level of occupational therapist. It's crucially important, however, that wherever you can make that difference in your own holistic health, that you recognize there are things you can do, because chronic fatigue syndrome can affect anyone at any given point in time in terms of the day, the time, the workload, and one may feel just overwhelmed. So yes, so much more support is needed, and I agree with that. I'll do a little research and see if there are indeed any support groups. But definitely, your healthcare professional who would be treating the case may be able to give a little bit more advice. But here's what I would suggest. One, pay attention to your holistic health, your wellness. Prioritize your well-being. Every single day, put aside at least 30 minutes to an hour if you can to do or engage the body in some level of physical activity, some level of meditation or mindfulness that will bring up component of stress relief. Most times than not, chronic fatigue syndrome is directly related to stress, and it's so important that we create those de-stressing moments. Watch what you're eating, because what you put into your body has a direct impact on our metabolism and our energy levels. And of course, not just what you're eating, but the energy around you. Yes, and this is a conversation that we're having just this weekend. If energy is contagious, it is very much contagious. The workspace, the environment space, it's crucially important that you manage the energy in those spaces so that you can be more productive and better cope with chronic fatigue syndrome. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, let's take a break from our sponsors and we shall return with the Lunchtime Doctor.
Every day, millions of people looking for healthy skin reach for Cetaphil. For over 70 years, Cetaphil has been committed to advancing skin science to provide the best sensitive skincare solutions, partnering closely with dermatologists and healthcare professionals. Cetaphil ensures the safety and efficacy of their products for your skin, from facial cleansers and moisturizers to body care and baby care. Cetaphil is loved by skin. Cetaphil, the number one doctor recommended sensitive skincare brand.
Hi, sir. You've been here on the aisle for a while. Can I help?
Yes. I'm looking for a multivitamin.
We have a wide range here at Superfarm. Let me get some more information so I can select the best vitamin for you.
See? That's the kind of advice I come for at Superfarm. Well, that and the snacks.
At Superfarm, we have the expertise and advice you count on. Superfarm, your prescription of trust.
All right, once again, let's return to the Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Amco, of course, Cetaphil, and Superfarm. And remember, the doc will be out there in Superfarm, Trin City, next week, Tuesday. Good day, Doc. My dad is experiencing numbness in his right arm from just under the elbow go down. What do you think this could be? The right arm.
Yeah. As we say, unfortunately, every single week we get these concerns about numbness. First and foremost, we want to know if there are any additional medical concerns. Is there high blood pressure, diabetes, if there's any peripheral artery disease, peripheral venous disease? So any sort of circulatory disorder will precipitate this numbness. Numbness is caused when the nerves at the ends there become damaged. If there's a high amount of sugar circulating, it not only can damage the feet, but it can damage the fingers. So it can damage nerves on all peripheries, on the feet and of course the fingers. It's crucially important that we find the root cause. It could also, now those are the more common ones, it can also be from arthritic processes within the cervical spine, because this is upper area. So the lower lumbar area would relate to the peripheral artery disease or numbness in the lower limbs. In the cervical spine, it would be in the upper areas for the upper limbs. So let's try to find the cause for it. The fact that he's already experiencing numbness is concern. Here's why. Because it goes from numbness and tingling to complete degradation where there may not be sensation. We've had some patients, unfortunately, and this is what we want to avoid, where they've been ignoring the numbness. They've been ignoring that tingling in their fingers. And one day when they're driving, they lose sensation and unable to properly steer. Or it could be worse. So let's make sure. This is what I consider a red flag. I advise, because you call on behalf of your dad, take that next step. Have the conversation with him. Be brave and make that appointment to him for him to be properly checked. Let's find root cause. Let's treat it. Let's make sure it doesn't get worse. Hope that answers your question.
Reminding you again, folks, of our numbers, 627-3223. And 625-2257 for your live calls and our WhatsApp messages, 306-1065. Hi, doctor. I'm almost a 69-year-old female. All through my early years, including pregnancy, my blood pressure was always around 90 over 60. I had no ill effects whatsoever. It remained like that until about 5 years ago. It now reads 110 over 70 or so. Still no ill effects. My doctor says I am fine, but my children think my blood pressure is high for me. Can you add to this, please? Thank you.
So thank you so much for being so detailed with your information. Let me reassure you, at 69 years old, 110 on 70 is an excellent blood pressure. Whatever you're doing, keep doing that. I'm very concerned that your children think the blood pressure is elevated. 110 on 70 is what we call textbook blood pressure values, and it's quite acceptable. Now, here's what I would want to make sure is not happening. If you're experiencing additional signs and symptoms, dizziness, if you're feeling overwhelmed and feeling lethargic or exhausted, if you're having shortness of breath, those are the signs and symptoms, even if the blood pressure is normal, when I still become concerned. Keep in mind, we don't just treat a number, we treat the whole patient. But if you have none of those symptoms, and at age 69, you're enjoying life and having a good quality of life, then continue doing what you're doing. Hope that answers your question and allays some of your fears.
Hi, good day, doc. If someone's eyes are bleeding, what does that mean?
Okay. Now, I do hope that's not happening to the person who sent in the message. But if it is, let me try to explain. And I do hope you're getting treatment right away. The eyes, there can be a bleed in different parts of the eyes. The eyes are actually made up of different chambers. Now, open declaration, I'm absolutely not an ophthalmologist. This would have just been in part of my training. And of course, the different patients that we would have seen over the years. So your foremost person to see, to be reviewed, is an ophthalmologist, an eye healthcare doctor. When there's a bleed, however, there may be, like I said, the different chambers of the eye. So there's a chamber at the back of the eye, which is what we call the vitreous chamber, and the blood vessels that can bleed. Now, in a case of glaucoma, age-related macular degeneration, even cataract, there can be additional vessels that now develop. So neurogenesis of these blood vessels. And because they're tiny blood vessels, if the blood pressure becomes elevated, your general blood pressure, the blood pressure, the pressure within the eye, the optic pressure, the ocular pressure, can become elevated and cause these bleeds. That becomes quite problematic, and it needs to be treated right away, because it can lead to glaucoma. It can lead to blindness. Please, that is emergency, needed to be treated right away. I hope that answers the question, and I hope it is dealt with the matter of urgency it needs to.
All right, good day. I have somebody here who's a 44-year-old female, would like to know if 132 over 83, if that's a good reading.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, I'm a little concerned with the top value. So normal, let's look at what is normal. The top value is considered your systolic. It should be between the 110 to 120. And the bottom value is your diastolic. It should be between the 70, 75, 80. Anything above 80, even the 85, is considered elevated. So 132 on 85 is indeed mildly elevated, but at age 44, what tends to happen as one progresses along in age, the blood pressure can indeed continue to elevate. At that value, I definitely will need to do what we call a full panel, as in we'll need to do your complete blood count, we'll need to do your HbA1c, your renal function, and probably your thyroid function, and get a value baseline where these hematological systems are at. And of course, get a little bit of an idea if you're on any medications, if there's a family history of high blood pressure or diabetes in the family, that value needs treatment. However, if you are not one that would want to go for treatment right away, here are some things you can do today. Cut down on the amount of salt. Look as well, what if there are additional stresses in your life? If you can mitigate them or at least add some level of de-stressing. Let's look at the amount of processed foods or even whatever you're putting into your system and try to lean more into the natural fruits and vegetables, protein sources. 132 on 85 will get higher, and the time it hits 140 on 85, then that's considered the area where we need to start treatment. So you can start with lifestyle factors today. You can do this from today. Give us a call in 3 weeks time and let us know what that blood pressure is like.
All right, let's take a call here. Good afternoon, welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Yes, good afternoon. I want to find out from the doctor that cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
How you just know if it bothering you? Because I just did so, and I just, my foot just swell. And the 2 feet, one was only one, then the two started swell, and it just go down. When I go to the doctor, they say, well, no, I say this kidney, they say nothing wrong.
Thank you for letting me know. Now, the mere fact that there's some level of edema or swelling on both feet now, so that's bilateral edema, mean there's some sort of dysfunction. The kidneys may not show the values right away, but the body is already showing the dysfunction. Here's how we can check the cholesterol, because that's what you ask specifically. You can do it from a blood test, but you can also have an idea if the cholesterol is elevated based on what your general lifestyle factors are. If you are indeed, say you walk up a normal flight of stairs and you're feeling short of breath, or if you're getting pains in the lower limbs, that may be there's some sort of sludge or cholesterol deposition within the arteries or even within the veins, and that may be why there is that edema. But the best way to know is to take that next step. Go to the healthcare professional, get these values tested, particularly the cholesterol test. That would be a fasting cholesterol. So you'd want it at least from, say, midnight, not have anything to eat. You can probably still have water to drink, but the doctor will guide and you'll do that fasting blood cholesterol first thing in the morning. Here's what we're going to be looking at for the result. We want to know the breakdown, the triglyceride component, the total cholesterol, something called the HDL, and then the LDL. That's where you'll get an idea of what the cholesterol is at and if you need to make any adjustments. But here's some hope. There are many anti-cholesterol or cholesterol reducing medications that can easily reduce the cholesterol. Here's another key factor. One does not need to have a high cholesterol value to start on cholesterol lowering medications. In fact, some of the general research, and this is across the world, from the time one is age 40, or if there's a risk factor, as in a family history of cardiovascular disease, it's recommended, just like aspirin, as part of that preventative therapy, knowing that the cholesterol levels will go up. So I hope that answers your question. I hope you take the next step to make sure we get that cholesterol value.
Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Cetaphil and, of course, Super Farm. 627-3223, 625-2257 for your calls, and, of course, 306-1065 for your WhatsApp messages. We're here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Good afternoon, Doctor. What causes you to get a stroke?
Good question. Now, we've been talking a lot about cholesterol, high blood pressure, peripheral artery disease. All of those factors together is what will cause a stroke. Now, what is a stroke? A stroke is when there's an embolus or some sort of blockage in the blood vessels of the brain. Just like there are blood vessels in the heart, just like there are blood vessels in the feet, there's also a whole network of blood vessels in the brain. And if there's a cholesterol deposit, as in some sort of thrombi or embolus that blocks that passageway, then one will indeed develop a stroke. What are those signs and symptoms that you may need to know? If you're seeing someone all of a sudden, you saw them the day before, previously, they were quite normal. Then on that day, they're slurring in their speech. Or on the face itself, it may have some sort of droop. Or one hand is able to move easily, the next hand is not able to. Similarly, it can be a leg. So the acronym that we tend to remember is FAST. So if there's a facial change, if there's some sort of asymmetry, as in with the limbs, one hand is moving, the next hand is not. S, speech. Then the action you're taking, T, must be in a timely manner and present to the ER right away. Here's why. The faster the time frame that we get to embolize, meaning break down that clot or the embolus, then we can limit further strokes from happening or that clot moving to the heart. And we know what can happen when one gets a heart attack. So that embolization period should happen as quickly as possible. I've actually seen patients that their relatives recognized that something was happening and they brought them to the ER in a timely manner, and we were able to reverse some of those consequences or complications of the effect of the stroke. Now, as someone asks, what is a stroke? A question we get quite often is about a stroke doctor. No, there's no such thing as a stroke doctor that can just give you an injection to cure the stroke. No, no, no. And anyone who's purporting to be that, they need to be sorted, as in reported to the medical board or to some authority right away. The general treatment for stroke would indeed be to manage the high blood pressure. So it would be antihypertensives. It may also be a cholesterol-lowering medication. If there's some sort of problem with mobility, as in if it affected the limbs or the hands, then definitely physiotherapy. Sometimes we need to involve a speech physiotherapist. Sometimes we need to involve an occupational therapist. And they tend to help return one to mobilization. So no, there's no such thing as one little injection that will cure or reverse the signs of a stroke, because once the nerves are damaged, once that part of the brain is damaged, there isn't a reversal of it. But there certainly can be management of a stroke. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doctor. You know, as you mentioned stroke, I was speaking to a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a long time, and asked him about his mom. And he told me his mom had a stroke, right? So my first thing was, I hope she watching her salt and diet and stuff. He said, no, everything was okay. She was not taking her medication, right?
And I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. So times, there are many patients that we see, many patients that we see that they're on medications for their blood pressure and cholesterol. And because when they start to take medications, guess what? They start to feel better and they get normal values. So they say, okay, good. We don't need to take the medications. And they forget about it for a while. They return to the normal life. And unfortunately, that's when a stroke can happen. And the thing with a stroke is that one day the person can be perfectly normal. And then the next day, they cannot be able to talk. They may not be able to walk if the stroke affects them in that way.
See, so take your medication, people.
Yes.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, afternoon.
Tinta, turn on your radio,
please.
You're
hearing you, though.
Yeah, turn on your radio.
Sure. I want to hear you, too, with that close.
We're hearing you. We're hearing you. Tell us what your question is. Thank you for calling. I'm Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon. All right, so my husband is diabetic and high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, his ankle, well, both feet, well, the left more is, like, real swollen. He always does blood tests, and he did a regular blood test recently, and he said they told him everything is normal. But I am very worried about. I don't know if you could recommend.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, like I just said, sometimes the values can be normal because the kidneys has not reached the level of dysfunction. So that's excellent. That may just be grade 1, grade 2, the earlier stages where it's quite treatable. But if there is some level of swelling or fluid collection or edema, then please make sure, even if the values are normal, whatever the prescribed medications are for diabetes and hyperplasia, that they are indeed being compliant with it. Keep in mind, especially if one is diabetic, if that glucose goes out of control, then there can be damage to the nerve endings. We've talked about this. And that damage can now lead to neuropathy, which can further the swelling or the edema, the fluid collection in the lower limbs. So I hope that answers your question. It's okay if the values are normal. That's a good sign. That means you're not in end stage. You don't want to hit where the kidney function are showing changes, because the body can function with the kidneys can function with a fair amount of damage still up to a normal level. But when it becomes really complicated, that's when you see the values being affected. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get another call. Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Cetaphil and Superfarm. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, presenter, doctor, pleasant good afternoon. Presenter, I have a question for the doctor. Doctor, what could contribute or be responsible for a person reaching the senior citizen age without any medical history or complaint of sickness? I will listen off the air. Have a nice evening.
So that is a very good question. That's what we want, everybody. So one, what would be responsible? Your lunchtime doctor taking advice. But let's look at that in a serious way. Adopting a healthy approach. And when I say healthy, it's not just healthy, but healthy and happy. Because one can be exercising, eating well, but stress can play a significant factor and unfortunately make one quite unhealthy. So what can ensure one at the senior citizen age to not have any medical concerns? Let's make sure you are eating well, at least getting some level of exercise. What do we mean by eating well? Not this amount of overprocessed chemical type foods. Eat as natural as possible. Less processed, less salt, less sugar. We want to ensure that we're managing our stress, and we want to ensure if there is a family history of. So if one has a family history, let's say mother or father is diabetic, let's say just one, then you have a 50% chance. If both are, then you have a 75% chance. If your grandparents are, then you have a 25% chance. And what is that risk? It's important to know the risk against it. So how do we ensure we have a healthy outcome and a healthy life, even at the senior citizen stage? We want to adopt a healthy lifestyle from all of these holistic factors that we talked about. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, man. But Doug, how these senior citizens, they would have grown up in a time where there were lots of fruit trees all over the place. They could pick this here.
They're playing cricket on the road.
Yeah, boy, you grew up around, you know, you could do fresh air.
Exactly.
The lifestyle was just different. How could we live that now? Yeah, everywhere's a concrete jungle. It's not the same, you know?
You know, it is concerted effort. Let's see with parents right now. It's so easy, as they say, to give the child the laptop, to give the child the digital device, and that becomes the babysitter. But now you're encouraging sedentary lifestyle. We've actually, and I am at risk for it because I have a little one in that age group where he loves his device, but we've put alarms on it. So after a certain amount of time, that's it. It cuts off. He knows he can't have any much more than that, and we have to switch it up. But now it's become part of his. I don't even have to give him that reminder. Say on a Sunday, if I'm busy doing something, he knows after breakfast he takes a walk around. Before he goes to shower in the afternoon, we must do some sort of exercise. So now I call him my trainer because now he motivates me. But it really starts from those healthy habits. And this is where we need grandparents to get our little ones back into that state of being healthy and active out there. I'm so glad that you're seeing now so many 5Ks, so many activities, outdoor activities. As we would have heard in the news earlier, there was this coastal cleanup over the weekend. I was part of it, actually, the one for foreshore. And there were so many young persons. I want to congratulate. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to take the time to congratulate all of the young persons. I saw persons from Scouts, from Rotaract, from the Rotary groups, from all different groups, from Diabetes Association, because I know they went all the way to Matura with different organizations, different corporate organizations. We were doing for sure. All of the families and volunteers that came out to do the beach cleanup, well done. Congratulations. However, let's not leave it there. Let's take those actions and translate it to our home space. How are you separating your plastics? Where are you disposing those plastics? What are you doing in terms of different storages? How are you disposing garbage? Where, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, there's so much littering. Bothers my soul. You know, base, in that cleanup, we picked up electrical cords. Why is there electrical cords on the beach? Why is there clothes on the beach? I mean, you can understand nets and, I mean, not that it's acceptable, but you can understand that. We even picked up the washing machine front. Why? Where did that come from? So let's be mindful of how we're disposing our garbage as well. We each have to play a part in protecting our environment.
Let's take another call about 12 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, boy.
Yo.
My teacher, what's up?
So my favorite listener.
The electrical cord, Doc, is because it didn't have a current. In the PhD, you understand? You get that one. Okay, listen to this. Nitrate.
Yes.
It's loaded in sausage and all these stuff.
Yes.
Food and food and drug, people. Mm-hmm. Not doing nothing about that. And the amount of sugar and all them juices, they're not doing anything about it. Doc, before I go, I want to tell you about why people use full cream milk instead of skim milk, as we've been used for years.
Mm-hmm.
Skim milk is the way to go. It has no fat, zero fat. Thanks a lot, Doc.
So excellent suggestions. So not only, and those are simple things you can make, switch out those things in your daily habits. Choose your low-fat milk, your skim milk. You can even do the almond milk because it's a considerably less total carbohydrate than the normal full cream milk. Let's even look at all those processed. Why do we need to do all of that processed food? I understand parents have busy lifestyles. This is where we can look at, say, in that Saturday or Sunday, prepare the meals. I would have done a couple different lunch boxes where I'm fixing all my lettuce, all my salad, cutting it up one day and just prepare that. And then I would add different things on different days. And that's how I'm going to make sure, not only myself, but my family. My both parents are diabetic and I want to make sure they live a little bit longer so they could do a little more babysitting.
But almond milk is not expensive. Sorry, not cheap, you know, Doc.
It isn't. Yeah. It is something that is a substitute for those who have allergies or who really need to have milk.
All right, let's take those calls. Of course, the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon. Line two. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yes?
My blood sugar was high, but it didn't show a figure. And then at 11:19 a.m., it read 94 mg/dL. What is a high blood sugar? And
okay.
A next question. My husband does build, but mostly when he eats food, he builds his more.
Right.
He's taking medication for it. Why does he build when he's eating?
Okay. So, good questions. If your dye scan gives the value HI and it doesn't give an actual number, that means that value was over 400 milligrams per deciliter. When we see something that high, as in when the dye scan machine even say HI, and that's what you may have indicated, then that means you need to take your medication right away or probably even go straight to the ER, because one can easily slip into a hyperglycemic coma. Yes. So when you see HI, that is considered a diabetic emergency. The 94 milligrams per deciliter is pretty A-OK. Now, let's talk about the belching. That happens generally. Obviously, when he's eating, then he's releasing the spaces from the stomach that would have accumulated that buildup of acids and would cause that reflux or belching or gas. Here's where we would recommend, probably before he eats, he even have some sort of warm beverage. It can be a non-sugar, non-carbonated tea. It can have these hosts of nice teas, lavender tea, lemongrass tea, cardamom tea. You know, over this weekend, I even had a masala chai tea. No sugar whatsoever. It is recommended for diabetics. There was flavor to it, but no set of sugar, and I loved it. So there are tons of things you can do for patients who have that reflux and presenting with a lot of belching. Hope that answers your question.
Lunchtime, Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, but I just want to share something with the doctor and you also, and the nation. I just boil the movie back, and I just, whenever I feel thirsty, it could be night or day, I go into and get the bottle, and I drink and I bottle it and put it in the refrigerator, the Moby Park. So I don't know, but I think that is real cool and nice and relaxing, you know, and that's a little advice then for somebody else who never tried it.
Good answer there. That's a really nice suggestion. However, for our diabetics, Moby does have a high glycemic index. Boiling the bark, however, will not give you that high sugar content. So that in itself will make another really nice tea. Hope that answers. Well, actually, that's a good feedback, sorry, to all those who are tuning in.
Hi, good day, doctor. Can anxiety cause high blood pressure? Because I was told I have mild high blood pressure. I use a magnesium glycinate, 135 milligrams. I have OD there.
Mm-hmm.
A garlic pill, 1,000 mm-hmm. milligrams OD. And the COQ10 mm-hmm. OD. Is this helpful? All right. I was also prescribed Naturalix SROD, but I'm afraid to use it as my pressure is usually high when I am anxious. I get anxious when I do my blood pressure. And my blood pressure yesterday was 125 over 84. And the day before, it was 161 over 81.
Okay. So let's dissect everything that you talked about. Those medications are great medications. The Q-enzyme 10, your garlic pills, the magnesium tricyclates, all of those are good things for managing your blood pressure. However, yes, you're very correct. Anxiety will worsen. It's what we call a vicious cycle. Unfortunately, when one starts to feel anxious, it triggers something called the sympathetic pathway. That pathway sends up the blood pressure. It sends up, it's almost like there's adrenaline circulating throughout the body. And of course, it will have not just your blood pressure elevated, but your heart rate elevated. So this is where we identify not just taking the blood pressure will send up the cause anxiety, but what are the other things that are causing anxiety? Maybe before you take your blood pressure and you're seated, engage the body in some deep breathing. My general things I tell all my patients is breathe 4, 5, 6, 1 minute. 4 seconds on the inhale, hold it for 5, 6 seconds on the exhale. And do that 5 times. That will take you just about 1 minute. You will literally feel your body come into a calm, and then you can check your blood pressure. Now, that last value that you mentioned there, the 181, 161 on 81, that is very much elevated. So we need to continue to ensure that that stays in control, not only by your medication, by any other de-stressing technique. So you've already part of it. You identify the anxieties, identify what can be the triggers. You've acknowledged what you're experiencing. Let's go into some coping mechanisms. And of course, control what you can, prepare what you cannot, because there will always be things. And traffic is my number one thing. We never know how much traffic we're going to face. So I always have to put mechanisms in place so I myself don't have my high blood pressure being triggered before we come to the studio. So we always have to prepare for the things that we cannot control so that it doesn't worsen either your anxiety or the blood pressures.
All right, we have a call here. Let's see. They're still on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, I want to ask the doctor this. I'm so frightened with this heat, because here what happened, I was on the phone Friday talking, and I have galvanized. My house is just galvanized, and the door closed in, and I, while I'm talking, I get in this feeling, this headache, but I didn't take it on. It's after when I put on the phone, I started to feel giddy. So I run in the bathroom, and I wet my head and my body and so on, but I started feeling one of my legs heavy. And after that whole day, I'm feeling sick. The next day, by my heart, by my chest, they are just feeling breathless, right?
Okay, so this is very important, because yes, the heat is affecting us all. We need to optimize our hydration, double if need be. If you can add some level of cooling, some persons may not be able to. I understand, that's why you need to hydrate. Stay consistent with your medications, because it can worsen, it can get you trapped in that vicious cycle. But to this caller, with those symptoms, what you're feeling, I do hope if you experience it again, go straight to the health center, because it may not be just the heat alone. It may be the blood pressure elevating that causing these worsening symptoms. Anytime someone is feeling dizzy, feeling that level of lethargy, then it can indeed worsen. So let's make sure we check all our bases. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, for a dog, that ice water is not too good to drink. I mean, in this heat, but yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it's not good. It's always recommended that one drinks, for in terms of absorption, lukewarm water, so room temperature water, right? But yes, there are that cooling effect of ice water. However, what it can do is that it can worsen the effects of GERD. It can shut down the peristalsis, that's the movements in the gut. So that's why it's recommended just hydration on the whole. But I want to just point out one little thing that I've been noticing. Persons are having their water bottles, but they're having it staying in the car. And unfortunately, they may crack it open, they may not drink all of it. It stays in the car, it becomes even more heated. That is not a healthy thing. If you're having your water, drink it one time and make sure you clear or dispose properly of that water bottle.
My beautiful, we're out of time there, Doug.
Okay.
Just about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Thank you all. Join us tomorrow and make sure next week you know about what's happening at Super Farm.
Mm-hmm. Of course, many thanks going out to our sponsors there, our Cetaphil, and of course Super Farm. And remember, yes, the doctor will be at Super Farm out there in Trinity next week, Tuesday. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105, and Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.